You know, it's up to the individuals and how they do this on the loyalist side.
So would you have any interest?
None whatsoever.
Why not?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, as I said, you know, my grandfather fought in the First World War, right through the war, and then went back again till 1920. And whenever there was Irish men away fighting for freedom and democracy against the Kaiser, they took a chance. They rebelled whenever they thought that Britain was at its weakest. And not only did they shoot their own countrymen, they also attacked members, families of people who were away serving in the British Army.
So as
far as I'm concerned, they took an opportunity. And not only that, but they collaborated with the German government at that time to try and get them involved in the East Horizon. So as far as I'm concerned, the people who were involved in that took advantage of the situation when their fellow countrymen were away fighting for freedom and democracy. But as far as I'm concerned, that's treason and they're traitors.
Colm Doerr, I mean, why do you think people like Ken or other loyalists would want to celebrate an event that's basically a cornerstone in Irish Republican history?
Well, it's a very odd decision for Ken to take because he is the PUP prison person. Recently spoke at the ACT initiative about not criminalising loyalist ex-combatants, and yet here he is this morning criminalising the entire other tradition with whom he shares Northern Ireland. That's a massive contradiction. I don't think it is reflective of all of the PUP, but it shows the difficulties in unionism where any progressive voice is shouted down with Lundy accusations, and that makes it very difficult for constructive leaders like Jackie McDonald, who have tried to give a good example to their people. And although this is only a small issue this morning, it offers a very important window into a mindset of the absence of parity of esteem. So it's not just a historical issue, Joel. It feeds right forward to today.
Yeah, but
language
but,
like stench, all those gratuitous insults we hear towards nationalists today.
But
a direct line.
But there are many people, I mean, Ken and others surely have the right to say, look, I tell you what, you know, thanks but no thanks.
Yeah, and likewise, with Orange Fest, it doesn't entirely succeed in reaching out to Catholics, I don't think. But I think it would be completely wrong for nationalist leaders to gratuitously insult it, as Ken is this morning, effectively criminalising the other tradition in Northern Ireland.
Ken?
How is that constructive?
Ken?
Oh, no whatsoever. You know, people on the nationalist Republican side have the right to commemorate the Easter Rising. The question that I was asked, would I participate? And whenever we talk about equality and part of the state, 1912 till 2012, the 100th anniversary, if we just go back a couple of years, that was one of the most important dates in our history. 1912, the signing of the Ulster Covenant. And what happened in that year? We had the taking of the flag down at the City Hall. We had the protests at Donegal Street. We had people on the Republican side coming out with strong condemnation of what was taking place. So where's a part of the esteem there? But as I say, I have no problem with anyone on the Republican nationalist side commemorating. But let's also waken up to reality. It's only in the last few years that they've been trying to rewrite history. Before this, they weren't interested in anyone. And I want to also remind them that, you know, when they talk about, he was trying to say I'm a sort of hypocrite. In 2011, I was part of a delegation that went to Glasnevin Cemetery and laying a wreath in commemoration of the Irish men who lost their lives in the Great War. But as I say, regarding the Easter Rising, they took advantage of a bad situation. They even shot their own people. You know, and the only participation that I would want to have in that Easter Rising is laying a wreath in commemoration of the British soldiers who lost their lives.
Joel, it's all very well to say that nationalists and Republicans are free to remember the Rising as they choose, and Ken says that he wouldn't stop them. But that reduces it to something like stamp collecting. This isn't a hobby that people are going to go into the privacy of their homes to do. The nationalist narrative and the nationalist identity in Northern Ireland has an equal claim to the public square, and it is increasingly asserting that claim to its share of the public square. And I don't see how that can be rebuffed.
I just wonder if Ken, you know, there are opportunities here. And you know, the PUP have sort of alluded to it in their statement where they say, you know, if there are those who want to gain a better understanding of the conflict and British and Irish history, that, you know, that's basically a personal choice for them. I mean, there could be events here where, you know, involved in discussions and debates and all that kind of stuff that would give people an understanding. We're not just talking about simply parades here, all that kind of stuff. Surely there could be opportunities here for people to listen to each other's views on how they see the whole period around 1916, and that could be interpreted as a positive.
As the PUP statement says, you know, it's up to the individuals.
But even those types of events you would have absolutely no interest in?
No, as I say, the only interest that I have, speaking personally, as an Ulster Loyalist, and as I say, whose family have a very, very strong military background. And I want to also remind her, you know, we're going on to different issues here when we're talking about many other issues. I was asked here about the Easter Rising and what took place there. But I want to also remind that there was a battle called the Battle of Messines on the 7th of June 1917, where the 10th, the 16th and the 36th Ulster Division fought side by side. I was one of the very first people who was made a fellow of Messines and have made very, very strong friendships with people on the nationalist side till the present day. And we have took many young people out till Messines to let them see what took place there. And also that people from both traditions lived and died together. So for this gentleman to try and put me down as some sort of a bigot, he needs to look into my past. He needs to look at the work that I do, the cross-community work that I do. I am talking about how I feel against the Easter Rising. And as I say, I'm a strong Ulster Loyalist.
Yeah, but
very proud of it. But I understand...
Joe, can we ask Ken how he feels? Ken, how did you feel when you saw Queen Elizabeth showing leadership in Dublin by laying a wreath and bowing her head to the memory of the 1916 rebels?
No, she didn't. You want your facts right. She was laying a wreath in commemoration of the men who lost their lives in the Great War.
And no, Ken, it was at Parnell Square. Ken, your facts are incorrect there. It was in Parnell Square.
I'm talking about 2011. Maybe you should look at your facts. I'm talking about 2011 at Glasdevin Cemetery. Maybe you're ignorant of them facts. At Island Bridge,
yeah, if you do,
on the 18th of May, 2011. Search. Would that be correct or not?
Ken, if you do a quick Google image search, you'll see Queen Elizabeth laying a wreath and bowing her head in the Republican Garden of Remembrance in Parnell Square in Dublin to the memory of...
In 2011.
During her state visit, that's correct.
Pardon?
Were you not aware of that? Were you not aware of that, Ken?
I was, yes, but I'm speaking about what happened. I said that I was down in Island Bridge on 18th of May, 2011.
But I think we're talking about two different events.
Yes, I know the event that he's talking about.
Yes.
I have no problem with Her Majesty doing that respect. Tell me.
But you wouldn't do it, Ken.
I wouldn't do it, no. I went and led a wreath at Messine Sanitary.
Yes, but the point but you've already made the point. But what I'm saying is, in terms of the question that Colm's asked you, you feel the Queen was wrong to do that?
No, I didn't. No, I have no problem with the Queen doing that.
If she feels right, but it's not your cup of tea.
It's not my cup of tea.
Right.
She's the head of the state, and things have to move on. I understand that, but me as an individual, I feel that the Easter
You'd
Rising.
You'd rather not move on.
Pardon?
You'd rather not move on.
Oh, I have moved. You know, you can't say it. I have been one of the most cross-community activists. And as I said, maybe you didn't listen there about the Battle of Messines.
I think it's tremendously important that the nationalist community show respect to your tradition. I just think it would be helpful if you could reciprocate.
Well, did they show a lot of tradition in 2012? Whenever they're taken down with the Union flag at the City Hall.
Did they
show any respect whenever they started on the Gaul Streets in 2012?
I want to go back and try and steer us back towards the 1916 Rising commemorations. Colm, what do you say to those that say that this is perhaps going to be a glorification of men who were involved in a violent uprising, a violent insurgence?
Well, if you're talking about the glorification of violence, that charge could equally well be laid at so much of the commemoration of the Great War. That was murder on an industrial scale, arguably, but it doesn't help us to get bogged down with that kind of thing. The past happened. We can't change that. So the question for today is, how do we harness it to better serve community today? Do we do so in a way which is divisive, or do we do so in a way which is respectful to create a respectful climate today?
And you think making heroes of the 1916 uprising would help that?
Aren't the men of the Great War regarded as heroes? You know, these are loaded terms. And I think that it's not an either-or. I think we can respect courage and heroism without getting bogged down in very adversarial discussions about what was murder and what wasn't.
So do you think there are events that could happen around these celebrations and commemorations that... Because there's a difference, you know, there are events that perhaps are not necessarily deemed as celebratory that you think perhaps Unionists and others from other traditions could actually be a part of and could engage in.
I see no reason why not. I think if Queen Elizabeth is comfortable with commemorating the men of 1916, I see no reason why it would be any threat to Unionists.
Although you've heard from Ken this morning and others will look upon this and see 1916 simply for them will be about the Somme. They will want to commemorate that and they will regard what happened during the Rising, as Ken has said, as a stab in the back during wartime.
Yes, but like I said at the start, Ken would object to the criminalisation of loyalist combatants from our recent troubles. So it's a huge contradiction for him then to criminalise the Republican tradition, especially those from 100 years ago. That's all over of logic.
Look, you spoke there a few moments about the men of the Great War. There was Irish men, very well decorated, not only in the First World War, but in the Second World War. But what happened was in the First World War, they took advantage. And not only did they shut some of their own people who objected against them, the shot members of the Royal Dublin Fusiliers, their fellow countrymen. You know, so, as I say, let's have a debate about the positive side of things. You know...
But sure, Ken, that almost highlights the fact of how historical... how significant a historical event this was and the fact that you could have many of these discussions or debates as... sort of organised forums are around the 1916 anniversary. These are the types of events that you actually could build in where everybody could be included.
As I said, Joel, at the beginning, I was asked how I felt, and this is my feelings. Like many other loyalists that I spoke to last night, and even this morning, you know, but as I say, I have a long military history with my family.
Ken, what would you say to the charge? How would you reply to the charge that the First World War was murder on an industrial scale?
There was many sacrifices made.
Do you think it was justified? Do you think it was a noble war?
Well, no war is noble, is it? Whenever men lost their lives. But what do you talk about noble? How can you talk about noble and anything else whenever men... their own countrymen were away fighting to defend freedom, democracy, and they collaborated with the people who their fellow countrymen were fighting with to try and overtake Ireland.
But again, Ken, I don't want to constantly interrupt, but again, Ken, you know, listening to this, it hits me again. You know, these are the sorts of questions and discussions and varying opinions that could be talked out and discussed in some sort of forum around this anniversary.
It's not what we're doing now.
Yeah, it is, but I mean, you know, why it would be... But why are you happy to do it on the radio and perhaps some will say, but not in some sort of forum because it's linked to the commemorations? That's the point.
Well, whenever people talk about, you know, commemorations, as I say, it's only in the last few years, maybe 20 years, that the Nationalist Republican side have really realised and... and proud of the participation of their fellow Irishmen who took part in the Great War and even the Second World War. You know, it was the Irish Republican Brotherhood who organised the Easter Rays, not Sinn Féin, who are now going to jump all over this. And we'll talk about...
Do you realise?
We talk about freedom, yeah, democracy here. You know, there's Twiddell Avenue. We talk about freedom, democracy. Men can't get walking home.
And do you realise that the Easter Rising was an event of global significance? It's bigger than just our wee country. I mean, it was an inspiration for Indian independence, and throwing off the shackles of empire around the world.
And what was the other comment?
And secondly, Ken, the First World War was not simply this great celebration or Roy of the Rovers adventure in pursuit of the freedom of small nations. It was a clash of empires who dominated small nations, whereas 1916, arguably, is an example of rejecting empire.
Who went to fight for the small nation?
Well, Ken, the very fact that...
Would you answer me, please? Who went to fight for the small nation? Who went to fight for Belgium?
To fight for Belgium? Well,
yeah.
Ken, you must realise that logic could be turned around and argued...
I'm asking you a question. Would you answer?
For Irish freedom.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is, I have no problem. I will go and have commemorated the 10th to 16th Irish.
So let nationalists on for commemorations, but let them do it away from the public square in the privacy of their own home. That's not a very sharing attitude, is it?
Let me get some callers in on this. 0-30-30-80-55-55, the new number, in case you're not aware of it by now. Let's start with Sean. Sean, you've been waiting for a while. Go on ahead, Sean.
Good morning, Joel.
Good morning.
If I can just explain where I come from on this. I'm part of the 2016 Easter Commemoration Committee. We're hosting the People's Parade on the Falls Road on the 24th of April next year. Just to make it clear, what was announced yesterday inviting loyalists and unionists to join in commemorations has nothing to do with us. Now, if I can say, I find it a bit insulting to, firstly, to unionists and loyalists, to ask them to commemorate something which they so vehemently fought against. Let's remember, you know, that in 2013, loyalists and unionists commemorated the founding of the UVF, which, by force of arms, threatened a civil war in Ireland. If the UVF had invited Republicans to come along and commemorate that, I don't think there would have been a stampede. Secondly, I think it's insulting to the memory of those who fought and died for Ireland's freedom to invite people like that to come along and commemorate what was a blow against the colonial rule in Ireland. After all, it was those people who donned the black and tan uniform and the RIC, RUC uniforms and went out and executed and burnt houses.
So this not only, Sean, is in your eyes something of a pipe dream or barking up the wrong tree, but in essence you think it's wrong to do to start with.
Well, I would invite unionists and loyalists to have a look at what we're commemorating. You know, certainly have a look at it and be objective in what they're saying, and certainly not to be dismissive of it.
It's almost what Henry MacDonald's writing about in the Belfast Telegraph today when he says that any key events that perhaps loyalists or unionists could be involved in would be more like historical think-ins, debates, and conferences asking hard questions.
Well, certainly there is room for that, but to invite them to come along and commemorate, I think, is a wee bit OTT.
Colin, what do you think of that? It's almost like two different types of celebrations or commemorations.
Well, I don't think it's a good idea for us to live out our commemorations in some sort of apartheid model where we just get each tribe just gets on with it. Then what kind of society is that going to construct? We need to better understand each other. And I think that when Ken mentioned Messina earlier, I believe that's the site of the first meeting between the Queen and an Irish president. And that sort of rapprochement is a model for our society to get to know each other's traditions better and create a more shared society with better understanding. Because this kind of sort of separate celebration model, I mean, do we really want that? Do we really want to go down our separate cul-de-sacs?
Sean?
Joel, if I can come back definitely on that. He mentioned the word celebration. I don't see anything to celebrate. Ireland was divided after the 1916 rising, and it's still divided by force of arms by Britain. First of all, we're not celebrating, we're commemorating. We will celebrate when Britain remove its presence from Ireland. That, you know, I have no problem with that. Now, the apartheid he's talking about, I don't see any apartheid in it. I'm an Irish Republican. I'm proud of who I am and what I am. I'm not trying to water down what I am. You know, I'm certainly not prepared to sit in a puppet parliament, either north or south, and say, oh, aren't things great? Things have changed.
We could get into the recent troubles and be here for hours. It's kind of gone down another avenue, but I want to try and get another couple of callers in. Sean, you've had a good rattle at it. Joe's in Belfast this morning. Morning, Joe.
Good morning.
What's your view on this, Joe?
I was just wondering, the invitation has been sent out to loyalists to attend these events. Would I, as a loyalist, be welcome on the Falls Road or Ardoyne at one of these events with a Union flag?
What's your point?
My point is, I wouldn't feel safe attending these events carrying a Union flag. I'm sure there'll be plenty of tricolours at these events. Could you ask your contributor, would I be safe attending an event in the Falls or Ardoyne carrying a Union flag?
Well, you would probably be as safe as someone attending Orange Fest with an Irish tricolour.
They've put out an invite to loyalists to attend these events. There was two sides to the events, the British and the Irish Republicans. So I would want to go and carry a Union flag to represent the British side of it and to remember the British victims.
Okay. Thomas is in North Belfast. Morning, Thomas. We're coming up to 1:30. A couple of more minutes on this. A couple of calls to get through. I think of another one after this. So, Thomas, a minute or so, if you're happy enough.
Okay, Joe, no problem. And I would just like to say, as a loyalist, I would just like to say, well said, Sean. Absolute voice of reason there from the 26 societies or whatever he was called there. I think he made exactly...
The organiser of the People's Parade, yeah.
Absolutely. He was 100% correct on what he said. The problem with this here, William, see when the Queen was laying a wreath for the men of Easter Rising, right? She wasn't laying it for the provisionals or the officials or the continuity IRA, the real IRA, or anybody that was involved in sectarian murder gangs here in Northern Ireland. She was laying it for that. And the problem with these things, and it goes on the RSA too, because Republicans would feel that the UVF, current UVF or whatever you want to call them, would be sort of connected with some parades and stuff like that. And I wouldn't dream of asking a Republican to attend one of them. I think the problem is here that because the IRA and Republicans within Northern Ireland who were involved in the conflict here with all the murder and bombings that was going on, will be connected to a lot of these parades and a lot of these
But this was 100 years ago.
I know, but Joel, there's a difference. There's loyalists and Republicans meet every week and have gone for years, and they sit and have difficult conversations. There's loyalists and Republicans go to Glasnevin. There's loyalists and Republicans go to Assam together.
Are there events that you would even be interested in, Thomas? Like, you say there were discussions or debates around this.
I have been to loads of events with Republicans, IRA and LA men at them, who were involved in the conflict here, and they have went to the storm.
But what I'm saying is, are there events around the 2016 anniversary that loyalists or unionists could feel they could go and be a part
there's
of?
There's a difference between speaking to Republicans and loyalists speaking to each other than going and commemorating. There's a difference in a commemoration for a loyalist. No, I mean, are we going to say, right, we've moved on here, there's UFF commemoration up here, we'd like Republicans to come along? Because Republicans have met UFF combatants, but they wouldn't go to one of their commemorations, and I think this is just, I think it's a stupid thing to be asking loyalists or Republicans to join each other in their commemorations.
I'll go to Phil, first of all. We're running a little bit late, but we'll take the news a little bit late. Tina won't mind. She's smiling. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, William.
It's Joel. Don't worry. But
I'm
not offended.
Sorry, Joel.
That's the second time.
But my point is, I was one of the people who was part of the gun-running Satiri Committee in April 2014. And what we got blum-blasted by Sinn Féin and Republicans for everything that we were trying to do. What I said in the paper was that Republicans need to be very careful, because 2016 to them is going to be a major, major event. And I agree with Ken Wilkinson, and I also agree with Jim Wilson last night when Jim turned around and says that I'm very, very wary of that statement that was given out by Republicans welcoming loyalists to these events.
Okay.
Because what I've seen, Joe, has been a time where they've been welcoming us. And when we come to our centenaries, all we do is get blasted.
Okay, I'm going to have to park it there because we're running out of time. I need to give Colm 30 seconds to respond to the points made in the last two calls. 30 seconds, Colm, if you can, please.
Well, unfortunately, Joel, Mike Nesbitt said exactly the same thing as Ken. He described the 1916 rising as murderous. It just shows how far we have to go in terms of parity of esteem.
Colm Doerr, Ken Wilkinson, thank you both very much.